Part 6, The Fall of Man. Let us look in on the takeover by Satan in the Garden of Eden. Keep in mind, God was not only in control, knowing man would fall from the foundation of the world, but he provided a savior for his children. Revelation 13:8, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God's redemption plan promised us he would not lose one of us. John 17:12 promises, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." Note that the tree of life in their midst and the tree of knowledge of good and evil are categorized differently than the other trees. Strong's Concordance states both these trees are of the masculine gender. The Concordance uses the Hebrew word kehi, meaning living creature. Genesis 2:9, "And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." The Bible uses the term trees many times in reference to men. For example, Isaiah chapter 61 verse 3 tells us that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Scripture is very clear also in informing us that Satan was in the Garden of Eden. Ezekiel 28 verse 13, "Thou Satan hast been in Eden, the Garden of God." Watch now as Satan takes action in the Garden of Eden. Revelation 12:9, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." The great dragon, Satan, here is referred to as that old serpent, which identifies him in the Garden of Eden in ancient or old times. The great deception took place in the Garden of Eden when Satan deceived Eve. He took control of the whole world when she and Adam separated from God. Sadly, their mistake separated all their descendants as well. All supernatural abilities were lost. Genesis 3:14 reads, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." God gave Adam explicit instructions before he even created Eve. Adam knew God intimately and knew also what God had commanded him to do. Genesis 2, verse 17, tells us, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." God did not even create Eve until the next chapter, Genesis 2, verse 22, the chapter after he commanded Adam not to eat of the tree, Genesis 2:22, "And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman and brought her unto the man." It was up to Adam to inform Eve and uphold God's commandment. It is still the man's responsibility today to uphold God's word in his family. Since Satan is a spiritual being, he needed a vessel to infiltrate the human race. The serpent was the perfect vessel, as it was the only beast in God's creation that was able to mix seed with a human. Satan entered the serpent and began his plan of deception. As he was incarnate in the serpent could and would do whatever Satan commanded of him. Genesis 3:1 reads, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman." Notice Eve having a conversation with the serpent. Before the fall, the serpent had to have been an upright being, as he had to go to the ground as part of his curse. The first thing the serpent or Satan did was pervert God's word, speaking of the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the midst of the garden. Genesis 3, verse 3, "God hath said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." The word eat in Hebrew is a call, a verb meaning to take on wisdom and be wise or to partake. Jesus taught how the children of Israel ate manna in the wilderness and were all dead. But speaking of himself, He taught that we must eat or partake of his flesh to live forever. John 6:58, this is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. John chapter 6, verse 58. The word touch in Hebrew is naga, meaning to lie with a woman. Other meanings are punish, destroy, bring down, or acquire. Paul instructs us in the letter to the Corinthians not to touch a woman. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 1 and 2. Good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication. Now Satan perverted God's word in Genesis 3, verses 4 and 5. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And now the fall takes place in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The word saw, S-A-W, in the original writing is defined as having an experience, discerned or considered with respect and to enjoy. The word food in the Hebrew is mekal. It is masculine and means way of life, knowledge, sustenance, victual, and strength. Pleasant, which is tevah in Hebrew, simply meant desire, greedily lusting, satisfaction, and delight. Eyes, or ayin, describes this beautiful creature as being pleasant to look at and lust after with outward appearance and knowledge. Wise, which is sekal in Hebrew, is to have good success, prosper, to understand and guide wittingly. The word touch in Hebrew, as we covered, is naga, meaning to lie with a woman. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1 said it is good for a man not to touch a woman, nevertheless to avoid fornication. Eat, E-A-T, in Hebrew is a call, meaning to take on wisdom and make part of. Fruit in Hebrew is peri, and of the masculine gender, meaning reward, that usually comes from the seeds multiplying. Here's an example of fruit meaning children. In Leviticus 26:9, and make you fruitful and multiply you. These definitions in the original Hebrew might say of Eve that she saw the serpent or discerned him with respect and was enjoying his company. She discerned the food or sustenance he could give was masculine, authoritative, and a way of life filled with the satisfaction of knowledge and strength. Her eyes were the part of the five senses Satan used to contact Eve's natural desires. The serpent was a magnificent creature. As we described earlier, so was Satan. Additionally, he had the musical talent to go along with his beauty. The serpent was truly an upright being, able to influence Eve. By the voice of Satan dwelling incarnate in the serpent, she would be made wise to understand good and evil. She felt confident he could be a very intelligent influence. With this temptation, she took of the forbidden fruit, producing the seed of an immoral act with the serpent in the Garden of Eden. This is where the contaminated bloodline began. There are examples of the spiritual influence of this contaminated bloodline down through all the ages. In the New Testament, Book of John, in chapter 8, we find the religious leaders denying being spiritually influenced by that bloodline. John 8:41 says, we be not born of fornication, we have one Father, even God. And John 8, verse 44, Jesus tells him, you are of your father the devil. The result of partaking of this forbidden fruit was Adam and Eve immediately knew they were separated spiritually from God and had lost their supernatural authority over all creation. They knew the sin was from the immoral act as they covered their groin areas with aprons to hide their guilt. This definitely did not come from eating an apple, or they would have covered their mouth as one does when they accidentally say something they're ashamed of. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Scripture says Adam partook also, and that he was not deceived. Remember, God's word, or the Logos, was established before the foundation of the world. They did not have a written Bible as we have today, but they did have the Zodiac and supernatural revelation from God himself, as well as close fellowship daily as they met in the cool of the evening. Adam chose to rebel against God and all his instructions to be with the one he loved at all costs. A perfect type of the second Adam, our Lord Jesus, coming after his fallen bride that he knew from the foundation of the world. 1 Timothy 2, verse 14 says, And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. God completely changed this upright creature, which could walk and talk in the garden, to a snake crawling on his belly in the dust of the earth for punishment for what he had done. He was the only part of creation we can find in the scriptures that could commingle with human blood. Genesis 3:14. And the Lord God said to the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. To this very day, scientists cannot find the missing link between man and animal. They try through all types of evolution with apes and sea life, but come up empty-handed for proof every time. Animal blood cannot mix with human blood, and there has never been any scientific proof that it has. All creation produces after its own kind, and God sees that that never changes. Never has anything evolved on its own into something better. Humans are at the top of God's creation, and no evolution has put us here. He created the first man in his image, and we are returning back to that image. He originally made our being in spirit form, but we do not remember much about that. Jesus told the disciples he knew them before the foundation of the world, and Paul said he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. There was something of us that was in Christ before the world began, and he has a plan that brings us back.